Now, the 23rd Biennale of Sydney has been ongoing for over a month now. The Biennale is a citywide arts... Sorry, it's a citywide arts exhibition that happens every 2 years, uniting artists both local and international under a particular theme. And the theme for this 23rd Biennale is Rivus, which is Latin for river. And now with me right now is Sydney artist, author and lecturer Claire Millage. Thank you for joining me, Claire, here on 2SER 107.3.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, your exhibition is called Imbas, A Well at the Bottom of the Sea. Can you tell us a bit how you arrived at this name? What does it mean?
Yeah, look, the name comes from a very old Irish story about a woman called Shinan who created the river. And I was really attracted to the story because it's a story in the landscape that really kind of exists as a mythology, but also as like potentially like a living being, I suppose. And in this story, the woman Shinan, she goes to a well at the bottom of the sea, and she releases knowledge and inspiration, and it forms this beautiful, very long and inspiring river, which is now the River Shannon in Ireland, which is the longest river there is there, stretching roughly from the north to the south.
Wow, what a beautiful story. Now, tell us a bit about your installation. Tell us about your work.
Yeah, so it's sort of, it was a bit of a collage, I suppose, in a way. I've melded together lots of different voices from like taking this idea of inspiration and knowledge as a starting point as the river. And I've sort of introduced a lot of different voices to the installation based on truth and ecology. So people who have inspired me, such as many poets who are also ecologists, like Kevin Gilbert, the famous Wiradjuri artist and activist and author, my mother, who's a botanist, and her botanist colleague, Nan Nicholson, walking along a river which they're sort of fighting to stop becoming a dam. So there's all of these components, this is just to mention a few, that are part of the installation. But if you actually walk into the installation itself, the first thing that you will see is a very large sort of rectangular prism made of blue silk, which has been hand-dyed, and then 9 metal cauldrons hanging sort of in the centre full of debris and detritus from the earth, and also a series of 7 glass paintings, which are all suspended on large pieces of shipping rope. So those stories are sort of woven into the material fabric of the installation in ways that include sound, but also painting on glass and notes that are sort of sewn into or painted into the fabrics around it. So it's quite a complex installation to kind of take in at once.
Mm, absolutely. It sounds like one of those installations that takes a lot of lingering and a lot of looking around and a lot of attention to sort of notice everything that's going on. Tell us a bit about the location of the installation itself and perhaps about how that sort of factored into the process of putting it together and designing it in the first place.
Yeah, so the installation is down at Pier 23, which has been, that particular pier has been closed for quite a while for renovation. So people might know it as, you know, next to Sydney Theatre Company and Sydney Dance Company, et cetera, is all sort of down in that area. But it's a very beautiful old wooden building, and it sort of floats across the top of the water is the way that I see it, a bit like a stage in a sense. And a lot of the light comes in from the 3 different sides of the building, which fills the space, and you also get a lot of water reflection, and you can see the water. So when you're actually on the pier, you still really get a sense that you're on a pier, and rather than sort of being enclosed in a building. And I think that the curators have done a really good job of maintaining that kind of sense of lightness and I guess floating exhibition space down there. And I've sort of worked a little bit with that space directly, so that there's some fieldwork recordings sort of playing during my work that are triggered by the tidal depth of the water. So the more fieldwork recordings that you hear, it's sort of directly proportionate to the tidal depth of the water. So that took quite a lot of programming.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and considering that, the depth of the tide is always changing day to day, yeah, a lot of reading of tide charts and a lot of calibrating your systems to make that work. That's fascinating.
Not perfect, I have to say, but we're very lucky to have the Bureau of Meteorology website. So, there's some good data on that one.
Mm. Tell us a bit about the collaborative side of this artwork and what that process was like.
Yeah, so I guess I really like to work with other artists, and it's not necessarily always a straight-up collaboration. So for this particular installation, I've commissioned quite a few artists to make work. So what I would do is tell them about the story of Shinnin and the fact that I'm really interested in this relationship between poetry and truth and ecology. And give them fieldwork recordings and notes and things, and then ask them to respond to that. So I've got a range of different artists who have done that. So Felicia Atkinson, for example, is a experimental French composer and artist, and she's made a really beautiful kind of like track particularly for the work about tides. And then locally we've got Snack Syndicate, which is Astrid Laurent and Andrew Brooks, and another artist as well on top of Snack Syndicate, Tom Smith, who have created a really interesting kind of poetic soundscape that plays. So I guess you never really know. I mean, I never really know what I'm going to get. I basically hand over the artistic license to them and give them a fee and say, here's the kind of contextual premise of it. So with that on one level, and then on other levels, I often work a lot more closely with people where it's like, okay, what do you think about if we do it like this? And then, you know, it's back and forward a lot. So in this particular installation, there's not so much of that very close working. It's probably more about how I kind of cobble it together at the end with their responses to the work. And you know, a few, like often, you know, phone calls back and forth and does this look okay? And how do you feel about this going here? And are you okay with it being presented like that, et cetera? So it is a delicate process. So I usually work a lot with artists who I feel I have a relationship with already, or there's an element of trust. So I'd never worked with Felicia, for example, before, but there's this strong element of trust there that really guides the collaboration to the kind of final outcome of the work.
I think the process of finding those artists and being secure in the people that you're working with is probably just as difficult as the process of putting the artwork together, almost, because you kind of never know how someone will react to feedback on their work and things like that when people are sort of pouring their heart and soul into their art, and you know, they have to present it to you as a part of a bigger artwork. There are a lot of little difficult roads to navigate there, but it seems as if you've done it fantastically well. It looks beautiful. Finally, tell us a bit about the Biennale itself, being a part of the Biennale, and sort of what it has to offer for artists that you might not get for your standard exhibition.
Well, I guess it's quite a different thing to work on than you know, say a group show or something like that, where perhaps you don't have as much control. So I think it's been a really interesting experience for me, because especially early on was often referred to as the early stages of the install was a bit of a moving feast, and there's not this sort of strong element of control that you might have in a museum or perhaps a university art gallery environment. I felt supported, but I felt very free as well. So I was pretty much left to develop the process and given a lot of trust by the curators in terms of, you know, how the work developed. They were very supportive of the artists like that. When I needed, you know, things, it wasn't like, oh, no, that's too dangerous. You can't have those massive glass paintings hanging up out of the ceiling. It was like, no, we've got this rigor and he's going to talk you through it. And etc., etc. So it's quite a different experience, I think, for the artist. And I think then that changes the way the audience experiences the work too. So there's a lot of, you know, just in Pier 2, 3, there's a lot of quite ambitious work there, which I think is quite nice, and a lot of kinetic work and, you know, moving objects and pieces, etc., and a feeling of, a feeling of something different, I suppose. And when you've got such a large-scale exhibition spread across the city, it allows you to kind of access the theme in many different ways, but perhaps in ways that you might not have thought about it. So this idea of rivers is not like necessarily like an uncommon kind of theme at the moment in terms of exhibitions and artworks globally, but the way that it's been approached, I think, is quite unusual. And there's kind of a focus, I suppose, on the idea of voices and rivers, and I think that kind of has given it like quite an original flavour, I suppose, is the way to put it.
Yeah, it looks fascinating. I'm going to get down there probably this afternoon. Hopefully it doesn't rain before I do. But people can check out your work, Imbas, at the Walsh's Bay Arts Precinct between Circular Quay and Barangaroo. It looks beautiful. Claire, thank you so much for joining me here on 2SER.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was Claire Milledge.